Tonight we look at the book of Ephesians. Let's go to God in prayer as we look into this book. Father, we ask that you open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten us, O God, that we may understand your word, that we may know your word. Father, we thank you that heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will not pass away. And as we build our lives upon your word, you transform us and you cause us to be changed to the very image of Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, that the presence of your Holy Spirit is here, and we allow the Spirit of truth to glorify Jesus in our midst. Father, let your perfect will be done in our lives. You know our past, you know our present, and you know our future. Our desire, O God, is to do your perfect will. We ask, O Lord, that through the ministering of your word, you will cause us to hear your voice speaking to us, the direction that we need to have in our life, so that your will be done in us. Your kingdom will come upon this earth, and your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. And Father, for all that you do, we promise to give you all the glory, all the worship, and all the honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The book of Ephesians is 6 chapters. And we note that the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians are written when Paul had already completed his third missionary journey, and the dating, as we have given, is about AD 64, and it's during the period when he was in prison in Acts 24, verse 27, we read about how Paul was in prison, and it was about that time that he wrote to the book, to the Ephesian church and to the church in Colossae. And that is why as we read Ephesians and Colossians, we note that there is a similarity in the tone and in the spiritual atmosphere of both books, although they are different in its application. There are many ways we could study this book. It's a very deep and interesting book. In fact, the book of Ephesians and Colossians tells us the glory of the church and gives us a divine plan that God has for the church of Jesus Christ. We could study it in these various themes. I'd like to point to the themes that are present in this book. We note that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3, all their endings are about the same. If you note, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, the ending is how the church is filled with the fullness of God. Look at the last verse of chapter 1. It says in verse 23, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then the end of chapter 2 is the same thing, except here it talks about the Spirit also in verse 25. Chapter 2, verse 22, in which you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit, we becoming the dwelling place of God. Chapter 3, and Paul prayed for the church. His second prayer recorded here in chapter 3, first prayer was in chapter 1. And this time we consider in this prayer the third last verse, verse 19, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So in the first three chapters, the theme seems to be together, and they stress on God filling our lives. There is no greater experience than to have God dwelling in a human body. We know that that took place when Jesus Christ of Nazareth came nearly 2,000 years ago. But now, Jesus wants to bring the same thing that he had into His church, which is us, His physical bodies today. And that is why this book has an emphasis on God dwelling in us. In the first three chapters, we see the emphasis there, God dwelling in us. And the key word in these first three chapters as we read is the word sit. Sit. We are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are there in the spirit realm with Him. In the next two chapters, chapter 4 and chapter 5, the key word is the word walk. Walk. And it speaks about our walk in God. How we are to conduct our lives. It begins in chapter 4. And it speaks about verse 1, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. See, he was a prisoner. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. So Paul exhorted them to walk in the way that they should. Chapter 5, the emphasis is still on walking in verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us. So the emphasis in 4 and 5 is walk. And the emphasis on walking also flows over a little bit on chapter 5. When you talk about children obeying their parents and fathers not provoking their children, etc. In chapter 6, in the first few verses. So there is a flow from sit to walk. And finally, in chapter 6, we find that there is an emphasis on standing. In verse 13 and 14, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. Within two verses, the word stand is repeated three times. There is an emphasis on standing. We should know when we are sitting, when we are walking, and when we are standing. Sitting is with Christ in heavenly places. Walking is in the body of Christ, with the church. Standing is against principalities, powers, wicked rulers of the darkness of this age, and wicked spirits in high places, as in verse 12. Spiritual, demonic forces that we battle with. So there is a certain theme that flows where you could put the first three chapters together, then the chapter 4 and 5 together, and chapter 6 by itself. That's one flow that we could follow. However, we will take another flow where we will divide the first two chapters together and then the second two chapters together. That means 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 5 and 6 for a certain reason which we're going to point out tonight. But I wanted to make sure that we touch on the other area, that there are other ways you could divide the book too. And as we look into the book of Ephesians, we need to notice certain key words that Paul uses in this book. And we need to have a grasp and an understanding of them. Let's look at chapter 1, first of all, and read the prayer that Paul prayed. And have all these tools ready as we study this book. We need some definitions of certain words that he uses, because that will help us to dig into the depths of this book. Ephesians chapter 1. In his prayer for the church, he prays in verse 18 and 19, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now it looks very simple and very obvious from the English, but there is a play on Greek words that Paul uses as he wrote this book. And let me read it, especially verse 19, and first put the Greek words in and then explain them. Verse 19, And what is, I'm using the New King James Version, you can follow in your own version. And it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his dunamis toward us? And if you want, you can put a little word dunamis there inside. Who believe according to the energizing or energies of his iskus kratos. Right? For those of you who like the spellings, dunamis, most Christians know, is D-U-N-A-M-I-S. Iskus is spelled as I-S-C-H-U-S, Romanized. And kratos is Romanized as K-R-A-T-O-S, kratos. Don't worry about meaning yet, we just read them first. And of his iskus kratos, which he energized or energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, why is it important to look at these Greek words? He has brought forth three Greek words here, and there's the word dunamis, there is the word energes, which means what it means, that is, it means energy, a spiritual form of energy, right? So that one we don't have to define so much. And then he brought forth the word iskus, and he brought forth the word kratos. And then late in verse 21, far above all principality and exousia, and dunamis and dominion. So you had the word exousia coming in. Exousia is a word that many Christians learn. It means authority, E-X-O-U-S-I-A, exousia. Why is this word important? Why are these words important? There are four words that we need to note of. Dunamis, which many Christians know because it relates to the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1, verse 8, you shall receive dunamis when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Exousia, most Christians are familiar because in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, it talks about as many as received him, to them he gave exousia, or authority, to become the sons of God, who are not born of the flesh, not born of the will of man, but born of God, born of the Spirit of God. Now let's look at chapter 3, and see the play on those Greek words first. In verse 16, that he will grant you, chapter 3 verse 16, or Ephesians, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Now again, there's a play on Greek words. Let me read it with the Greek words inside in verse 16. That he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be kratos, with dunamis, through his Spirit in the inner man. You find the word kratos and dunamis mentioned in chapter 3. There's again Paul using those Greek words. And let's look over at chapter 6 now. It's used here and there in this epistle, but I'm pointing to the most significant areas where we need to know what it says in verse 10 and 11, chapter 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be en dunamo, which is a verb form of the word dunamis. Dunamis is a noun, dunamo is a verb. Finally, my brethren, be en dunamo in the Lord and in the kratos of his iskus, in the power of his might. Now, many of us, when we read the New Testament, when we read the word power, we always think in English that there's only one word for power. And then as we grew in our Christian life, we realized that there are two Greek words for power, and we learn about that when we're in Sunday school, we learn about that when we go for follow-up lessons, or sometimes when the preacher differentiates between authority and ability, between exousia and dunamis. Then there are these other two Greek words, kratos and iskus, which are also found most prominently in the book of Ephesians as Paul writes about the glory of the